You are listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Ray gives a teaching about how God is not only our Lord and Savior, but also our friend. Here's Pastor Ray.
Well, today I want to speak to you about knowing the God who wants to be known. And so I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles or your Bible app to Exodus chapter 33. While you're doing that, let me remind you that we have made a devotional guide available to you free of charge. And the sermon today has a related devotional on the same topic that I would encourage you. In fact, I would encourage you to read all of these devotionals every day because it will keep you encouraged in the Lord. But today I want to talk from Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. And this is what it says. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face. Now, it doesn't say that Moses would speak to the Lord face to face. Obviously, that happened. But it says the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. That is the summation of Moses' life. That's his epitaph, if you will, carved by God's own hand into the perpetual granite of God's eternal word. Moses, the man with whom God spoke. By the way, one day you too will have an epitaph chiseled on granite somewhere. If you doubt that, on your daily walk, and I know you're doing that religiously, I would encourage you to walk through a cemetery. Take a stroll through a cemetery, and you will see that everyone gets one. And you know, as far as I know, the death rate for human beings is still hovering around 100%. You too will have one someday. And as you go through the seminary and as you stop to read what is on those gravestones, what's on those markers, you will see that they tell a story of the people who were buried beneath them. Incidentally, and you might find this interesting, there are websites of memorable grave markers from history. I know you would be interested, so I did some research this week. It was a slow week, and I want to bring you some of the ones that I thought were the more humorous ones. Here's one that you might relate to. It says, Owen Moore has passed away. Owen more than he could pay. Hopefully that won't be true of you. One from the Old West I liked, it says, here lies a man named Zeke, second fastest draw in Cripple Creek. And then one of my favorites is found in Round Rock, Texas. And it simply says this, I told you I was sick. This one not only made me smile, but it really got me to think. And it says this, this is what I expected, just not so soon. So your stroll through that cemetery, if you will do it, will remind you that one day you too will have your entire life summed up and chiseled onto a headstone for all to read. That sobering truth was captured by another headstone, and this one from New England. And it said, as you pass by and cast an eye, as you are now, so once was I. We'll all get an epitaph someday. Moses did, I will, and you will too. But the question is, what will yours say? What will they say about you? Now, I hope mine will say, the Lord would speak to Ray Noah face to face as a man speaks with his friend. And you might say, is that even humanly possible? Well, it was for Moses. If anyone ever really knew God, If anyone ever experienced an extraordinary revelation of who God is, if anyone truly had a close personal friendship with God, it was Moses. But you have to understand, that was not always true of the man. If you review his life, you will see that in the first 40 years, Moses knew a lot about God. He was born to Hebrew parents, but he was raised in an Egyptian palace in the lap of luxuries, one of Pharaoh's sons. He was truly a prince of Egypt. He knew about God through his heritage, but there's no indication that he walked closely with God. In fact, it appears that he was perhaps a bit spiritually indifferent. But then Moses tried to play God. He killed an Egyptian overlord, a foreman who was abusing a Hebrew worker. And so because he had done that, he suddenly had to flee the palace to the backside of the Sinai Desert. And for the next 40 years, Moses unlearned everything he thought he knew about God from the first 40 years. For four decades, Moses wandered in that desert. It's a literally and spiritually a desert experience, where during that time, he knew nothing but the silence of God. You see, God had enrolled Moses in the University of the Desert, where he trained him, this once and future leader, in the curricula of solitude, monotony, and failure. Solitude, monotony, and failure. By the way, if you're going through a desert season, maybe you're in a desperate time, a wilderness journey, it seems that God is far from you right now. Maybe you're feeling isolated. Maybe you're experiencing deprivation, obscurity, boredom. Maybe you feel like you're a flop, a failure. I want you to be encouraged. I'll tell you why. You are in God's graduate school. You're in the school of the desert. And it may not feel like it, but I would encourage you to embrace where you are and learn from it. Embrace where you are and learn from it. God's got you in the school of the desert, and He is preparing you for greater things, as He was Moses. And then after those 40 years, Moses came to the burning bush, which marked the beginning of the final 40 years of his life. And in this period, he came to know God the way that we would want to know God, in His power and in His glory. Unlike any other man, Moses experienced firsthand God's uncontainable attributes, His omnipotence, that is, that He is all-powerful. He's the God who brought the plagues, visited the plagues upon the Egyptians. He parted the Red Sea so that the Israelites could walk across on dry ground. He led them by a pillar of fire at night. He provided manna every single day for 40 years. God is all-powerful. He is omnipotent. Moses knew Him in His omniscience, that God is all-knowing and all-wise. And Moses experienced God's omnipresence, that is, that God is everywhere at all times. And Moses came to know God's nature, that is, His justice, His righteousness, His holiness, and His incomparable greatness. What more could a human being want? What more of God could you want? And yet, as we read the story, that wasn't enough for Moses. He didn't want to just know about God. He didn't want to just experience His supernatural power. Moses wanted more. I want you to look at Exodus chapter 33 and notice verse 13. It says, God, if you're pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Now, that was out of desperation for Moses. He had just come through one of the most frustrating leadership moments a person could ever experience. If you go back to chapter 32, the context, the setup to this story, Moses has been on the mountain, Mount Sinai, for 40 days. He's been visiting with God, communing with God, and God hands Moses the Ten Commandments. God Himself chiseled the law onto these stone tablets. And when Moses came back down the mountain, he had told the people to wait for him and to be ready for God to deliver the law that He wanted them to live by. But when Moses came back down the mountain, what happened? He found that the people were worshiping a golden calf. And Moses absolutely lost it. He was so angry that he threw those divine tablets down and they broke apart. He took that golden calf, he ground it into powder, and he made the idolaters drink it in their water. And then he had 3,000 of them executed. Moses was upset, to say the least. But not only was Moses upset, God was upset. In fact, he told Moses, he said, you're going to have to lead these people on because I can't go with you anymore. I can't go with them anymore. If I do, they make me so angry, I will kill them. So you lead them. And Moses said, time out, God. I can't do this without you. I can't go forward if you don't go with us and before us. So in verse 18, he says, of chapter 33, he says, now show me your glory. God, show me your manifest presence, your glory. Now, think about it. You've got to admire Moses' audacious greediness for God. He wanted more than what he had already experienced. And so here's what he's really asking. He's saying, God, I want to know you, really know you. I want to know your character. I want to know your nature. I want to know what makes you tick. I want to enter into the deepest intimacy with you that is humanly possible. And here's the amazing thing about this story. God obliged this big, bold, daring, audacious request. He revealed Himself fully to the man Moses. We're going to see that extraordinary revelation in a moment over in Exodus 34. So just hold on to that. But for now, here's what I don't want you to miss this. I think this is really the point of this story. Here's what I want you to know today. This doesn't just tell us something about Moses. It mostly reveals something vitally important about God that God wants you to know. And that's this, that God wants you to know how much he wants to be known by you. God wants you to know how much he wants to be known by you. The great theologian J.I. Packer said this, "That's the main business that you are here for, to know God." That's the main business of life, to know God. And God has made himself knowable. You see, God is not some distant deity way out there in a galaxy far, far away. Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 7, he said, "What other people, what other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? He is the God who is near, he is here, and he will reveal himself to you if you will just ask him." And not unimportantly, not insignificantly, that's why God led you to tune into this service today. You might think that you just happened to turn on the TV. Maybe somebody invited you to watch. Maybe this is your habit. Maybe for whatever reason you stumbled upon this service. Behind all of that was a God who wanted you to know that he wants to be known by you. It's true. And it doesn't matter who you are or where you've been. Wherever you are, maybe you're in a frustrating experience like Moses, trying to serve God faithfully in a very difficult, if not impossible, assignment. You're frustrated with that. Or wherever you've been, maybe like Moses' first 40 years, a wasted season of messing up your life. Or perhaps like his 40 years in the desert, feeling like God has forgotten you, shelved you, or disqualified you. Whatever the case, God wants you to know. Today, he wants you to know that he is near to you and he is knowable to you. As he responds to Moses, God is saying to you, "I'll cause my goodness to pass before you and I'll proclaim my name, the Lord, to you." Exodus 33, verse 19. "I'll cause my goodness to pass by you, to pass before you, and I'll proclaim my name to you. I am the Lord." In other words, God's message to you today is, "I will let you know me. I'll let you know me." By the way, spoiler alert, when God reveals himself to you, you will see God spiritually as Moses saw him physically in the next chapter. If you look over to Exodus 34, look at verses 6 and 7. This is how God revealed himself to Moses after Moses said, "I got to know you, God. I need to know your glory." Here's what happened. It says, and God passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin." It's interesting to me that God didn't reveal himself as the God of mighty miracles. He didn't reveal himself as the God who parted the Red Sea, who caused water to come from the rock, who provided manna day by day for 40 years. Or he didn't reveal himself as a God of righteous wrath who brings down fire from heaven upon the wicked. He didn't reveal himself in his unapproachable holiness. But rather, when it comes down to God at his most knowable, he wants you to know, like he revealed himself to Moses, he wants you to know his grace, his compassion, his patience, his forgiveness, and his love for you. That is God at his most knowable, and he wants you to know him that way. Just read that verse again. He wants you to know him that way, and he offers that to you today. I'm going to ask for our musicians to come back, and in a moment, we're going to sing one of my favorite worship songs, and we're going to sing it as a prayer, "Waiting Here for You." And that's going to be our prayer. That is going to be our plea to the Lord today. But before we sing that as a prayer, I need to let you know this, that you might think asking him such a big, daring request might be off-putting to God. But asking to know him is not a request to a reluctant God. God is in no way reluctant to hear and to answer your request. In fact, it actually pleases his heart. This is what he desires from you. God himself says in Hosea 6:6, "For I desire the knowledge of God from you more than sacrifice, more than any other religious, spiritual activity that you can be involved in." God first and foremost wants you to know him, to have the knowledge of him personally in your heart. And that should be your chief aim in life, to know God. Because truly, that is the sweetest nectar of life. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24 says this. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man gloat in his wisdom, or the mighty man in his might, or the rich man in his riches. Let them boast in this alone, that they truly know me and understand that I am the Lord, who is just and righteous, whose love is unfailing, and I delight in these things. I, the Lord, have spoken. Friend, knowing God is the best thing in life. Knowing God is the best thing in life. In fact, Jesus said, knowing God is eternal life. Listen to what he said in John chapter 17, verse 3. Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. God has made himself knowable. He is the God who wants you to know how much he wants to be known by you. My friend, God has offered to let you know him today. Really know him. And it's the best offer you will ever get in life. And if I were you, I would take him up on it. I'm going to invite you to join us in singing this song, Waiting Here for You. And there's a part in the song where it's going to say, waiting here for you with hands lifted high. And I'm going to ask you, wherever you are, whoever you're with, if you would just take your hands and in a childlike posture of reaching up to a father who wants to provide what you need and what you want, just reach up to him and make this your prayer. God's going to hear you, and he is going to reveal himself to you today. There's opportunity for you to really know God in this moment.
Thanks again for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you would like to hear more teachings or find out more information about our church, please visit pcctoday.com.